We're continuing our series, The Making of a Leader. This is our third message from this series. And it comes from Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And the title of today's message, Defeating the Dumps. Defeating the Dumps. Have you ever read John Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress? Most of us have. It's second to the Bible as the most read work in the history of Christianity. Well, in that classic book or story, Pilgrim's Progress, there is a scene in which the hero, the main character, Christian is his name, and his traveling companion, Hopeful, are captured by a giant. And do you remember the name of the giant? Despair. The giant's name is Despair. And John Bunyan wrote in that scene these words, "The giant, therefore, drove them before him and put them into his castle, into a very dark dungeon, nasty and stinking to the spirits of these two men." In Genesis chapter 40, we find Joseph unjustly prisoned, unjustly held in Pharaoh's prison house. And in Genesis 40 and verse 15, Joseph describes that prison as a dungeon. But yet, as we read through Genesis 40, we find that even though Joseph was down in the dumps of that dungeon, he didn't allow himself to be defeated by the dumps. The trial of Joseph's subterranean location did not change the truth of Joseph's spiritual life. Joseph may have been incarcerated, but he was not incapacitated. He was locked up, but he was not locked down. The dungeon could not deter Joseph from honoring God and believing that God would eventually honor him. So just like the character Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and just like Joseph in Genesis chapter 40, there are days as God's people when every one of us are down in the dumps, find ourselves in the dungeon. Times where we find ourselves living with circumstances that, if we allowed them, could swallow us up in discouragement, despair, and defeat. So today, as we go to Genesis 40, the story of Joseph challenges us. He is a picture of devotion in difficulty, a picture of serving God even while you might serve your time in the dungeon. As we go through this chapter, and again, I won't have time today to read all the chapter, and I hope you've already read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. But there are three challenges that we draw out of Joseph's story here in this chapter. And the first challenge for us that we get from Joseph's story is working during difficulties. Working during difficulties. If you go back to chapter 39, we saw this last Sunday. Joseph's work ethic was evident. In Potiphar's house, Joseph had demonstrated his ability and his faithfulness, and he had risen to prominence to be in charge of all of Potiphar's household. But even after he is falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar and thrown into prison, Joseph was not an idle inmate. He gained favor with the prison keeper, and he worked hard even in that horrible place. You know, unfortunately, a lot of folks, when they find themselves surrounded by difficulty, one of the first things to happen is they lose heart to work. They set their sword or their trowel aside and go, "The weather of my life right now is too stormy for me to do any labor." But here we have Joseph challenging us to keep working for God no matter what the climate in which that work must be done is. And so if we're going to work during difficulties, there's a couple of things that we need. What do you need to be able to work during difficulty? Well, Joseph demonstrates them for us in this text. For one thing, have a servant's spirit. In our text, we're told that two of Pharaoh's chief workers, his baker, and the Bible calls it his cupbearer. I like to think of him as a butler, for that's what he really was, a personal servant, a butler. The butler and the baker, they get into some kind of trouble with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has them cast into the same prison where Joseph was. And when they arrived, look at verse 4 and see what happens. When they were arrived, the baker and the butler were placed in Joseph's care. Look at verse 4. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them. Literally, Joseph attended to them. He brought them food. He cared for them on a daily basis. Joseph could have passed his years, his time in prison, sitting alone, looking around in the dark, dirty cell, feeling sorry for himself, and just generally being in a sad state of affairs. But Joseph determined in his heart, in the dumps of that dungeon, that he was going to be productive even in prison. If nothing else, he was going to be a servant. When you and I, when we find ourselves in difficult places, surrounded by dark circumstances, don't we have the temptation just to shut everything down and do nothing until the situation changes, until it gets better? Yeah, we all fight that temptation. But know this, that some of your most productive times in the work of the Lord may also coincide with some of the most painful times in your life. You may very well be at your best as a servant of God when you are a suffering servant of God. So if you have a servant's spirit, then hurt and pain in your life need not stop you from working for God. So if you're going to work during difficulties, you need a servant's spirit. What else do you need? Well, you need to have a sensitive spirit as well. I love the scene that we see in verse 6. The poor old butler and baker, they've had a hard night. And why did they have a hard night? They had some pretty weird dreams. I had a pretty weird one last night. If you want to talk to me later, I'll be happy to share it with you. I'm not going to go into it last night. But only when you wake up after a weird dream, you're going, "What was that about?" Verse 6 says, when Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. Dreams were upsetting to them. And now look at verse 7, and what we see? We see Joseph asks them, "Why are your faces so sad today?" I love this scene. Joseph has enough of his own worries to deal with, right? But he was not so wrapped up in his own problems that he was blind to the problems of those around him. You know, when we are faced with times of difficulty, if we're not careful, we'll start to live on our own deserted island of self-pity. We'll be like those old guys on Hee Haw that used to... Did y'all watch Hee Haw? You young people are going, what in the world? But he'd sit around and sing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then the guy went, whoa! You know. We're like that. We just want to say, oh, it's pitiful. Our eyes are so focused on our own struggles that we miss the fact that there are other people hurting all around us. People that we might be able to help by God's grace. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth when he told them that as we are going through those times, look around. And he said that we can comfort others with the comfort that we are receiving from God. You may be burdened, but you don't have to be blind. You're never alone on the road of suffering. And if you'll be sensitive to the needs of others around you, you can still work for God even in your difficulties. Have you ever heard of William Sangster? He was a powerful, effective preacher in England a century ago in the early 1900s. But he was suddenly diagnosed with a crippling muscle disease. The disease took away his voice, all control of his body, and eventually killed him. But after he was diagnosed with this terrible disease, William Sangster wrote some resolutions. Resolutions that he promised that he would live by for the rest of his life. I have them up here for you. He said, for the rest of my life, every day, I will never complain. I will keep the home bright. I will count my blessings, and I will try and turn it to good. When Sangster couldn't preach anymore because he had lost his voice, he picked up his pen and wrote. And his legacy of faith and his wisdom lives on in books. Without this disease, I dare say that much of his wisdom and knowledge of God would have been lost forever. But because of the disease, his legacy carries on even today. So the first challenge that we get from Joseph is working during difficulties. Well, there's a second challenge. The second challenge that we get from Joseph is witnessing during disappointments. Look back at the text and notice something that Joseph said in his conversation with Pharaoh's butler. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, Joseph says, for I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. Joseph's story had begun when he was just a naive boy. He had the dreams of what God was going to do in his life. But his youthful innocence suffered blow after blow with a series of disappointments, right? And here we are in this text seeing that Joseph, even though he's facing great disappointments, it didn't stop his witness for God in whom he trusted. Sadly, for a lot of believers in Jesus Christ, when they get some disappointment in their lives, things don't go the way they had expected, their testimony goes right out the door. They're not going to witness for God. They're not going to speak for the gospel because they feel like they've been cheated in life. But not here. We see Joseph challenging us to witness, to testify of God, to be faithful in our struggles. as well as our successes. So how are you going to witness during disappointments? How do you witness during disappointments? Well, again, there's a couple of things we've got to have. To witness during disappointments, you got to have confidence in the truth of God's Word. You really do. You got to have confidence in the truth of God's Word. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. He goes in to the butler and the baker, and they're so sad, and he says, "What's wrong?" And you see what they said in verse 8? "We have had a dream, and there's no one to interpret it." If I'm Joseph, you know what's going to come out of my mouth at this point? If I'm Joseph, right? Be glad I'm not Joseph. If I'm Joseph, I can tell you what's going to come out of my mouth. My mouth's going to open up and say, "Oh, hush. Don't even go there. I don't even want to talk about dreams. You talk about dreams. God gave me a dream one day that I was going to be exalted. And now I'm down here in the dumps. I didn't want to hear about your dreams. Just ignore them. Don't you know dreams don't amount to anything?" You see, Joseph could have let the disappointments of his life pour out of his mouth and destroy his opportunity to speak on behalf of God. But instead, hallelujah, look at what Joseph says in verse 8. "Then Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please.'" At this point, Joseph's God-given dreams seemed so far from being reality, but that did not stop him from pointing these other dreamers to the grace of his God. You see, even in his own prison of problems, he was confident in this principle from the Word of God that we find in Philippians 1:6, where the Apostle Paul proclaimed, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus." If we're to witness for God as he has called us to do, then even when the circumstances of our lives cast shadows on our future, be confident that God will not fail you, and God will not fail anyone who casts their soul upon him. There is a lost world desperately in need of hope. And so when our lives are dark with despair, we still need to testify of the light. We've all heard the phrase, "Give me the benefit of the doubt." I like what someone once said. I can't attribute it to anybody because I don't know who said it. But someone once said, "Give me the benefit of your convictions, if you have any, but keep your doubts to yourself. I've got enough of my own, thank you." We need a witness of the convictions that we have about God. But if we're going to be witnessing about the convictions that we hold about God, then we have to have a confidence in the truth of God's Word, even when our circumstances appear otherwise. But there's another thing we need to be able to witness during disappointments. And that is, we need to have commitment to the truth of God. Just as you need a confidence in the truth of God, you need to have commitment to the truth of God. So as Joseph, led by God, offers the interpretations of the dreams to the butler and the baker, there's an interesting picture here of what we will experience as we witness to the people around us as well. First is the butler's dream. It proved to be a very positive dream. He had the dream of fresh grapes in Pharaoh's cup. And it was a prediction of full restoration. In verse 13, Joseph says to the butler, "Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office." Oh, that's good. Isn't it easy to tell people news they want to hear? When you share your faith in Christ with someone and they're wanting to hear about it, isn't it the easiest thing in the world to witness? Oh, sure it is. You know, when I run into somebody and they say, "Hey, preacher, hey, pastor, will you tell me how to be saved?" That's easy. Anybody can do that if they know the ABCs, right, of the gospel. That's easy. What they're saying, "Tell me, bring it on." But then you get those like the baker. The baker's dream, on the other hand, was a sober prediction of his impending death. In verse 19, Joseph says to the baker, "Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you." Joseph was acting as a channel of God's message for these men. And he was faithful simply to tell them what God had told them. It makes me think of something the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Paul was talking there in 2 Corinthians 2 about our ministry as witnesses in this world. Witnesses to those who are saved and to those who are going to perish. Paul said there, "To the one an aroma of death, from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life." That's the way it is when you share the gospel with folks. Some are going to hear your witness, and to them, your words will be the good news of life and hope. But for others, they're going to reject the gospel. As heartbreaking as it is, they're going to reject it. And they're going to hear, instead of words of life, what they're going to be hearing is, "How dare you condemn me? How dare you? Who are you to judge me? Who is God to judge me?" And yet our responsibility is to simply proclaim the gospel. Do it faithfully, without flinching. Do it clearly, letting God speak to them through His Spirit into their hearts, and let them do with it what they will. And let God do what He wills. No matter where you are and what you're facing, it must be the commitment of your life to witness to the truth of your God. Yes, even in the times of your own disappointments, God still wants to speak through you. So let's go to the third challenge. For many, this is the most difficult. Third challenge is to wait during delays. After Joseph interpreted the butler's dream, he made this request. Look at verse 14. Joseph said, "Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh." And I want to read this way. "And get me out of this house." Get me out of here. Maybe Joseph could read some of God's providential writing on the wall, and maybe he realized that perhaps this butler was going to be God's way of getting him out of that dungeon. Now, eventually, the butler would be the key to Joseph's release. But guess what? It's not going to happen for another 2 years. There were two more years of dungeon days yet to come for Joseph. You know what? The experience of delay is written in very large letters by God all over the lives of his people. Abraham's given the promise of a son. And decade after decade goes by before Isaac's born. Moses, the one who was going to lead the flock of Israel out of Egypt, had to spend decades as a shepherd of sheep on the backside of the desert. David promised the throne, had to spend years on the lamb in hiding as a fugitive before he received the crown. And Joseph, delay and delay and delay. So how in the world can we learn to wait on God during delays? I want to give you a quote here. Again, I don't know who to attribute it to, but it's been very powerful to me for a long time. God is never before his time, but neither is he behind his time. He's never behind it either. When delays come, there are a couple of things we draw from this story of Joseph that we need to remember. Remember that God has not forgotten about you. Remember that God has not forgotten about you. 3 days after the butler and baker's dreams, it was Pharaoh's birthday. And word came that the two of them were going to be released. Imagine as Joseph is waving goodbye to the butler and he's calling out to him, "Hey, don't forget about me, old buddy. Don't forget about me, dear friend." But look at the last verse here in Genesis 40, verse 23. "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." His days turned into weeks. Joseph looking out from behind those bars. You imagine as it begins to slowly come to his realization that this friend had let him down and forgotten the promise he had made. Look behind the scene. Yes, the butler had forgotten Joseph, but God had not forgotten him. Even though he was delayed, Joseph's life was still being lived in the presence and providence of God. You may not have said it out loud, but I bet some of you have wondered at times if God has somehow gotten a little senile over the years. Maybe God has let you slip through the cracks without being noticed. You've probably wondered at times, has God forgotten about me? When you're down in the dumps, yeah. You are tempted to think, yeah, maybe God has forgotten about me. Know this, remember this. Every friend you may have ever had in your life may forget you and forsake you, but you have a faithful friend, a high priest, an advocate in heaven, in whom the Bible says that your name is written upon his hands, and he has never and will never lose track of you. In your delays, Remember that God has not forgotten about you. And finally, remember that God is not finished with you. Recognize that God is not finished with you. When Joseph was just a boy, God had given him a dream as well. And in that dream, remember, he was exalted and his brothers were bowing down before him. Joseph is going to wait another 2 years in that prison on top of the decade plus he's already spent there. But God still had plans to make his dreams come true. The day was going to come when Pharaoh was going to have a dream of his own. And he was going to be perplexed by it. And it was going to jog the memory in this butler's mind about his promise to Joseph. And it was going to open the way for Joseph to go from the prison to the palace. Right now, the story of your life may seem to be delayed or even derailed. You may feel like I've been given a life sentence in the dungeon. But the truth is, God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Just because he has delayed you does not mean he is done with you. You know, before God ever saved you, he had a plan to conform you into the image of his son. I want you to think about what that means. As part of that plan, his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, went through the crucible of the cross and the coldness of the crypt. But on the third day, he arose from the dead. And God, the Bible says, has highly exalted him to where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. The day is going to come when all his enemies will bow at his feet. And God has promised you that he will make you into the image of his Son. He's going to give you victory and glory. And so you know that God is not finished with you. You see, ultimately what we have in Joseph's story is Jesus' story. Jesus, the innocent Son of God, dwelling in the prison of our sinfulness. He came to minister to us in our misery while he was enduring a misery far greater than any of us will ever know. And even at the darkest hour, the hour of death, hanging on the cruel cross, he trusted his Father and he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." So whatever you're going through now, can you follow the example of Joseph and ultimately Jesus and commit yourself into the loving hands of your Father in heaven? One day, you're going to see Jesus face to face. On that day, you're going to be like him and your dungeon days will be over forever. Let's go back to Pilgrim's Progress that I introduced this message with. Go back to the scene where we have Christian and Hopeful imprisoned in the dungeon of despair. And there, Hopeful reveals to Christian that he is considering taking his own life. He's considering suicide. But Christian speaks to Hopeful and he says this: "Indeed, our present condition is dreadful, and death would be far more welcome to me than to live here forever. But yet, let us consider the Lord of the country to which we are going." I say to you, to defeat the dumps of your dungeon days, consider the Lord of the country to which you are going. Look to Jesus and live for Him until those days have passed. Let's pray. Lord, we marvel at Joseph in this passage of Scripture. The Lord, we know that he is a picture, a foreshadowing of your Son who would come. And Lord, because your Son was victorious over the darkest hours, we know that in him we too will have victory over the darkest hours of our lives. Father, in this room are people who are living on the mountain right now. As far as they're concerned, life couldn't be any better. But Lord, in this very same room, there are some folks that are at the very bottom that they've ever been. The deepest hole, the darkest valley they've ever crossed in their lives. But Lord, whether it's the mountain or the valley, the penthouse or the dungeon, Father, we know we can trust you. So Lord, let us be faithful to you. And let us hang on. Father, I pray that these words from your holy book would find their mark, and that you would bring encouragement to those who so desperately need it today. And Father, for the rest of us, may we be found always faithful for the one who needs Christ. May they find words of life today. Bless our time of invitation. It's in Jesus' name we pray.